Turning, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew 14, commencing at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So the Lord will bless the reading. Now the story is clear. The implications are obvious. The Lord has gone up to the mountain, speaking of his ascension, taking his place as Lord and priest. The disciples are down in the midst of the water, in the midst of the storm, in the boat. And then Christ comes to them to meet their need. That's clear. Now, let me do this. Now, I wouldn't often do this, but I tell you what I want to do now. Because of the shortage of time, and just with a very slight introduction, could I give you the structure of my message? That is, can I bring before you the things that I want to say? Now, against the background of this storm, first of all, I want to speak to you on the majesty of Christ. The majestic Christ. And against that, under that heading, we'll speak first of all about the violence of the storm. And then we'll follow that with the sovereignty of Christ. His majesty, seen against the severity of the storm, his sovereignty displayed as he walks on the water. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the mastery of Christ, for he is master of the storm. First of all, under the mastery of Christ, I want to talk to you about the assurance that he brings. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Then I want to talk to you of the faith that he creates, that it creates, the mastery of Christ created faith in Peter. Lord, is it that thou bid me to come unto thee in the water? By creating, I mean, there's a richer and deeper, fuller expression of Peter's faith that never was before. The mastery of Christ, the assurance that it brings, the faith that it creates, finally, the power that it releases. Christ says, come, and release this power. Very briefly at the close, I want to talk to you then about the authority of Christ. In relation to Peter, one, he rescued him. Two, he rebuked him. Three, he walked with him. Now that's it. That's the bones. Now, just a very brief word of introduction. Two things I want to draw your attention to. First of all, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the disciples found themselves in the midst of the storm because of obedience, not because of disobedience. Ah, that's interesting. They're in the storm because he told them to go to the other side. You see, storms can come into your life because of disobedience. Isn't that right? If you determine to go your own way and do your own thing, defy God and break His laws, then you're in deep trouble. But they were in the trouble because of their obedience. Secondly, I want you now to note, please, that these disciples continued through the storm. You see, as experienced fishermen, they could have turned the boat in the storm. It would have been difficult, but skill could have done it, and they could have sailed back, but they didn't. That's the easy way out of it. But they didn't. They kept going on because he said, go to the other side. And remember this, they're rowing. So they're back to their destination, and they're looking back toward the mountain. That's why they saw Christ. Now you've got it. That's the setting. Now, first of all, the majestic Christ as he walks in the water. He's walking in the water because of the storm. Is that right? Lashing winds, mountainous seas. Everything is contrary. And there they are in all the heat of the storm and the tempest. I want to talk to you about that. I know some of you. I know enough of life. What I'm going to say tonight is going to be very pertinent. But storms come in life, don't they? We hear of heart attacks. We hear of strokes. We hear of illnesses. And there are others who are constitutionally weak. Let me talk to you about people. Most of them you won't know. I'm thinking tonight of John. He went in for an operation, nothing to do with his eyes. And when he came out of the anesthetic, he was blind and has remained so. Big thing to be in the dark. I'm thinking of Harry. Many years ago, he had a fall. This last number of years, he has found the strength of his legs going. He has attended pain clinics. I never knew there were so many clinics for pain in Britain where they investigate pain. They can't do anything for him. A short time ago, he went to the dentist. And the dentist found he had ground his teeth down. Night and day, when the pain was on, he would grind his teeth till he ground them down. I'm thinking of Jessie. She had cancer. From the very first day with her husband, she committed it to the Lord. If he leaves me, I'm happy. I'm willing to go. Just before she was called home, I visited her in the south of England. And I said to her, as I went in, how are you, Jessie? She said, I'm getting weaker. I don't know how long I'll be here. As long as he leaves me, I'm happy. I'll just be as happy to go. She's now in heaven. I'm thinking of a young brother in Scotland called Jim. Wife and two children. Started to have trouble with his eyes, and it's diagnosed as M&S. Now he's still working away at the moment, and we're all praying hard. But you can understand the cloud that came, the storm. Probably finish up in a wheelchair, utterly helpless. I don't need to talk to you about brethren and other sisters who are suffering from M and D. Deep exhaustion. Suddenly wilting under the strain and must lie down. Storm. Of course, all of you would know Margaret Gilpin. The storms of life beating. Health and fear. But there are other areas. There's the area of jobs and business. Made redundant. Oh, the number of believers who seemed strong until he was made redundant and then they panicked. Just like the disciples panicked here. It's not easy, is it? Problems in the business and the bank closes in on you. You're in the midst of a storm. Family. Growing up. Unsaved. Going their own way, we heard about it. Deliberately. Breaking your heart. You brought them up and gave them everything, maybe far too much, that they never learned to appreciate money. And others are criticizing you. You remember the words of the Lord in Isaiah 1 verse 2. Give ear, O you heavens, and hear, O earth. The Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they rebelled against me. That's comfort. The family, they get saved. Sometimes they don't take their stand for Christ to begin with, at other times they become frustrated. They begin to go out with other companies, isn't that right? You warn them that deaf ears. Then they keep company with a young man or woman. Then they tell you they're getting, and they profess to be saved, but the young man or woman's unsaved. Miss your protest, they go on their way, despite, oh, the cruelty of the Christian's children. They break their parents' hearts so deliberately. They go on their way, form an unequal yoke, defy God, break his law, set aside his word and expect you to bow to it. The family. The storm comes sometimes in bereavement. Father or mother, husband or wife, son or daughter, suddenly taken away. You're in the midst of the storm. It's all testing your faith. Got it? There you are in your little boat. You're seeking to be obedient to the Lord, and the whole, sometimes your world seems to fall apart. Just a minute. Take the boat again. They're all in the boat. I wouldn't be spiritualizing too much to make it a local assembly. And the storms come. And you're endeavoring to do what the Lord says. Brethren, listen to me. There's some of us coming to the conclusion that there are satanic attacks now upon sound assemblies. You find that. In the midst of the storm, Peter will be an overcomer. Now let me turn your eyes. Turn away from the storm. Look! The majestic Christ exercising his sovereignty as he comes walking across the water. The water, the waves have become a pavement for his feet. Out of the dark wall of the night, Christ appears. He's coming to help, to rescue, to save, but he's coming on. He's coming on.
Oh, this regal Christ, master of ocean and earth and sky, controlling superior to every element, living above it all. The sovereignty of Christ as he leaves the mount and comes down to the water. Have you got it? Quickly now, let me come to the mastery of Christ. In the assurance that it brings, there he is coming across, and they think it's a ghost. They think it's an apparition. They're scared, they're panicky. When you understand it, as they look yonder, suddenly he appears. Now, listen, Darren. If he had been walking on calm water, that would have been a miracle. But he's walking upon mountainous waves and seas, superior to it all. And he's walking so quickly that one of the Gospels suggests it looked as if he would pass them by. What was hindering them? Tormented with rowing for hours, because he came in the fourth watch, between 3 and 6 in the morning. And there he is coming over. And sometimes the spray will hide him, and then he'll emerge, coming on, resolutely determined. Oh, the mastery of Christ as he comes. And suddenly, across the water, there comes the assurance. Be of good cheer. What a comfort. It is I. What assurance. Be not afraid. What encouragement. He's come. Well, somehow I feel Peter knew he'd always come. What is it? It is I. It is I. Christ has arrived. Stop. You say, it's all very well, you know. He was on the mountain and then he came physically. Just a minute. He's in heaven tonight. He's with you, isn't he? Come on, he's with you. Tell me, have you never at any time got down on your knees and thanked God for the attributes of Christ? Look at this scene. Can you see it? The attribute of omnipotence as he conquers the waves, triumphs over them, walking upon the water, the omnipotent Christ. Come again. Can you see his omniscience? He knows they're afraid. He knows they're afraid, so therefore he shouts to them, take heart. It's I. Don't be afraid. Omniscience. Listen, omnipresence. Have you never thanked God for the omnipresence of Christ? But he's there, and yet he's with us, individually, collectively. Oh, the wonder of divine attributes that we take and accept. Isn't that right? See. Yonder, in the midst of the storm, they're looking back, thinking back, and they're saying, you know, in the last storm it was all right, but he was in the boat. But he's not here now. Ah, but he's coming. He's coming. Listen to it. It is I. Tell me, please, are you wilting under the storm? Has your faith been shaken? Has your heart was broken? And at times you get downed and depressed and these headaches come on, etc., etc. You know it better than me. For the mercy of God, I wouldn't know what it is to have a headache. But you know all this better than me, some of you, these storms that come. Isn't that right? And suddenly, look away. It is I. It is I. Don't be afraid. I'm coming. The mastery of Christ, the assurance that it brought. Secondly, the mastery of Christ, the faith that it created. There's Peter, and he's looking. He's looking at him. And suddenly says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee in the water. Oh, what an expression of faith. Far beyond anything that Peter had ever exercised or thought about, right in the midst of it all, in the midst of the storm. He says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come. Brethren, Peter felt he would be safer with Christ on the waves than with the disciples in the boat. Safer with him yonder than in the boat. And he expressed his faith, Lord, the assertion of lordship. Lord, if it be thou, prove your identity. We know, but prove it. If it be thou, bid me to come, power on the water, sovereignty.
Oh, what a request. What a request. Bid me to come to thee in the water. Just a minute. I wonder what's behind the request. What's behind the request? If it be thou bid me to come in the water. Well, it wasn't that he wanted to boast about it afterwards. Isn't that right? For he never mentioned it. Nobody mentions it again. Brethren, there are experiences too sacred to talk about. We're merely afraid to talk about them. Was it the thrill of a new experience? Well, it may have been that. Do you know what I think, brethren? I think Christ coming yonder, walking on the waves, out of the heart of the storm, in the midst of the storm, displaying power and authority and sovereignty, that was like a magnet to Peter. Oh, this magnetism of Christ. He wanted to get to Christ. No matter what it would mean. Supernatural? Impossible? Yet there it was, the magnetism of Christ. I want to get to him. I want to be alongside him. I want to be above the thing. Got it. Tell me. You read your New Testament, don't you? You read the Gospels. Tell me, do you never feel a tug at your heart? Do you never feel a pull way down here? Do you feel it tonight? And really, you want to be near him, don't you? You want to be with him. You want to share in his mastery. You want to have fellowship with him in the victory over circumstances. Lord, bid me to come on the water. Oh yes, it shows you in a given circumstance, God can create a faith far beyond what you've ever experienced. Isn't that right? Am I true? If it be thou, bid me to come. Now, the mastery of Christ, the assurance that it brought, it is I, be not afraid. The faith that it created, Lord, bid me to come on the water. Now, the power that was released, across the waters, there came the familiar voice of the Son of God, come, come. And Peter's getting over the boat. Now stop. Abraham pledges everything on five words. So shall thy seed be. Pledged it in five words. It was read this afternoon, but not commented on. Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, pledged his present and his future on two words. Christ said, follow me. Now Peter is going to risk everything in one word. What was it? Come! And across the waters came the authoritative voice of Christ, the mastery of the Son of God, superior to the elements. Peter, Peter, come, come. You see, Peter wanted an assurance that Christ wanted him to share the experience. Isn't that right? Now I come to the authority of Christ. Now watch now. He had got the assurance that Christ wanted him to share. Come on, Peter, come up beside me. And Peter's getting over the side of the boat. Now let's talk to him. Now listen to you, Peter, yes, will you? Just you stay where you are. It's difficult. But look, he's getting over. Listen, Peter, you listen, Judge. You know, we're level-headed sort of fellas. It's not only difficult, it's dangerous. But Peter's getting over the boat. Peter, listen. It's not only difficult and dangerous, it's disastrous. Stay where you are, Peter. But look, Peter's walking in the waves. You listening to me? Peter's doing what Christ can do. Peter's forgotten about the storm. Peter's living above his circumstances. Peter's got his eye on the Christ and not on the storm anymore. And the mastery and sovereignty and majesty of Christ is sustaining him. He's got his eye on Christ, and the power of Christ is sustaining. And then it happened.
Well, it happens so many times, doesn't it? You look away from Christ. The moment of diversion and distraction. Oh, you say he's drowning. Oh, no, he's not. Oh, you see, he's going down sinking. Oh, no, he's not. It says when he began to sink. As he cut, you see, as soon as you get distracted from Christ, you'll blunder. The storm will beat you. The circumstances will get you down. You begin to sink. Oh, beware of the moment of distraction. When you start to get occupied with the difficulties and the problems, start to get occupied with the sorrows and the injustice and the wrongs, when resentment begins to, yes, isn't that right? You begin to question the Christ that wants to help you. Suddenly, yes, immediately, as he began to sing, immediately Christ caught him, lifted him up. Isn't that it? Isn't it? I'll come back just in a moment. I'm watching that clock. Now watch. He rescued him. He rescued him. Brothers and sisters, listen, Christ doesn't want you swallowed up with your circumstances. He doesn't want you absorbed with the storm. He wants you to look to him. Christ can uphold you. Christ can sustain you. The authority of Christ will never fail you. The authority of Christ. He arrested him. Secondly, he rebuked him. Oh, Peter of little faith. Why did you doubt me? What made you look away, Peter? What made you forget me? Why, we're just getting to that point, weren't we, Peter? And there you were. Isn't that right? The majestic Christ, the mastery of Christ, the authority of Christ. Oh, brethren and sisters, why don't we learn to trust him more? Eh? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never let you down. I tell you, you'll never sink. He caught him and he lifted him up. The authority of Christ, he rescued him, he rebuked him, now he's walking with Christ. You say, what do you mean? When he caught him and lifted him up, he put him on the top of the wave again, and they both walked back to the ship. Yeah. Come on now. How long have you been on the road? Have you never learned to live above your circumstances? You'll trust Christ for eternal salvation and won't trust him for the temporary storm. Got it? And they walk back together. You know, when I get to heaven, there are lots of people I want to speak to. I'm desperate to get talking to them all. I want to talk to Peter about this. I want to tell him, listen, Peter, I know that you did it. Then you began to sink and then you're on the top again. But oh, Peter, you'll never know what this has meant to us. Peter, you'll never know what it meant. When you got your eyes on Christ and lived above the storm and forgot the circumstances and Christ sustained you right back to the boat. Isn't that right? Now stop. I'm drawing the close. Only one man in 12 did it. Come on. Only one in 12 did it. Will you be that one? Will you? Only one in 12 shared the glory of the moment. Shared the triumph of the moment. Shared the victory of the moment. Shared it all with the majestic Christ in all his sovereignty and authority. A fellowship forged in the storm. Well, that's it. I tell you, it's in these circumstances, hammered down upon the anvil of human experience, that you learn it all. One man in 12 did it. As I draw to a close, could I quote you scripture?
Will you take these scriptures home with you tonight? Will you? You won't forget them. When the storm breaks, the wind howls, there you are on the top of the wave and it crashes you down and you can feel it in your soul. Your heart's breaking and your tears are running. Look to Christ, won't you? Here's the first scripture. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Got it? You won't forget it now, will you? Second scripture. We are more than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors. Who would have thought Peter would ever have walked in the wave? Third scripture. The first is in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace. The second is in Romans 8, more than conqueror. The final one is in Philippians 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ who pours his strength into me. I can do all things, nothing beyond me. I'll be where Christ is, above the storm as it howls beneath me. My faith placed in Christ, Christ is honor. He's lifted me above it, beyond it. It's howling below me, but I'm walking with the majestic Christ. I'm sharing in his mastery. I'm entering into his victory. I'm finding that all that he has promised is true. Can I leave it with you? The majestic Christ. The severity of the storm made by the sovereignty of Christ as he walks upon the water. The mastery of Christ expressed in the assurance that he gives. Be not afraid, it is I. Expressed in the faith that creates, Lord, bid me to come to thee in the water. Expressed in the power that it releases. Come, Peter, join me in the greatest victory over circumstances. The authority of Christ. He rests you. If need be, he rebukes. But you'll walk with him. You'll walk with him until with the rest you'll bow and say, truly, thou art the Son of God. The majesty of Christ, the mastery of Christ, the authority.